lesson I'm going to guide you through today is an introductory lesson. It's an introduction to the area of the body that often is really, really tight in our westernized society. It's the area that spans the back of the thigh from the sit bones, the pelvis, so where your bum kind of is, all the way down the back of the thigh to just below the knee. This muscle that I'm talking about is called the hamstring muscle group. And a lot of people actually know this muscle because they're always complaining about how tight their hamstrings are, that they can't bend down to touch their toes if their legs are long. Often people get hamstring cramps, hamstring tears, hamstring strains. I actually at one point had a hamstring strain. It was a bit of a tear as well. And it was before I got into the work of Moshe Feldenkrais, the Feldenkrais method. And what was going on was that my muscles were super tight. It's so common. And yours, if you're listening to this, it might be because you too have very, very tight hamstring muscles. But there's a thing that often we miss when we're trying to get those muscles long, and that's that we focus on just the muscle. We do various stretches to get that muscle longer, to stretch it out. And the area that often needs to be addressed is more than just the muscle. It's the structure that houses the muscle. So where the muscle starts, which is the pelvis, where the sit bones are, specifically the ischial tuberosity is the actual anatomical term. And then it goes from that part of your pelvis all the way down the back of your thigh to just below your knee on the backside. It attaches to your lower leg. So in this introductory lesson, I'm going to take you through some very basic yet often forgotten movements that a lot of us tend to not play with, not do in a day-to-day workday, or even in a lot of our fitness and activities. And you might find that even just a little bit, that it'll make this muscle a little longer. It'll give it a little more length, a little more pliability, a little more resiliency. So why don't we start? To do this lesson, you're going to need some space, a little bit of space around you. And you're also going to need a chair or a kitchen table. And this will depend on how tight these muscles are in your body, also your height. So I'll guide you through it in a moment. But before we even get to that, I want you to stand away from the chair that you're at or your kitchen table and to just sense yourself first in standing on your two feet. So if you're sitting right now, now's the time to stand up in order to get benefit from these movement lessons, these awareness through movement lessons. You need to actually do them and experience them. If you're listening to this and you don't have the capacity to take time to actually try this out, then perhaps you could listen, but to come back to this when you can actually do the actions. So just stand on your two feet for a moment and do a bit of an awareness check-in. So see where you might stand on your two feet. So are you noticing if you've got maybe more weight on the left foot or the right foot? And I'm not going to go too in-depth into where you should be, where you shouldn't be, but to just notice if you have an evenness left to right and to pay attention to that. And also where the weight is forward and back, front and back. Is the weight only on your heels? Are you having to hold yourself up a tiny bit? Or are you really forward on the forefoot, the front of your feet? And even if you just sway your body first a little bit left, right, forward, back, can you sense if there's a spot where it feels just a little easier to stand, a little less effort? And then keeping your legs straight, So keeping your legs straight, I'm going to get you to do a test movement. So it's a test movement. And it's not to do this movement lots and lots of times, just to do it once or twice. But you're going to start to bring your hands to the ground as if you're trying to touch your toes. And keeping your legs straight, find out where you go easily. So where do you go easily without feeling a stretch? So just pause for a second in standing. Maybe take a few steps if you need to. I'm going to repeat this again because it's quite important. Often in our culture, when we are asked to try something new or to test something, we'll strain and see how far can we go? How far can I reach? Can I get there? Can I get to the ground? And in this instance, be very honest with yourself. So as you bring your hands down to the floor, is it that in 10 centimeters or 10 inches, how far can you go? Even if it's just a tiny bit, is it just a tiny bit before you feel a real strain in the back, in the hamstrings, maybe even the calf muscles? And just go to where is easy. And then just pause. So pause, stop the movement of going down to your feet if you haven't. It's just a few movements that I want you to try, just to do a test. And then grab a chair, and the type of chair that's best for this is a chair that's flat or a stool or a wooden chair. So nothing that's soft and cushiony, something hard, or your desk, if the desk is low enough. Meaning you're going to put your hands on the stool, on the chair. If it is a desk or a kitchen table, it might be that you need to put your forearms on this table. And you're going to create a little bit of a table with your body so that your hands are directly under your shoulders. If you should be doing this with your forearms on, let's say, a kitchen table, ensure that it is your elbows that are underneath your shoulder, and also that your hands are relaxed. So be sure that your hands are just palm down, relaxed, and that the elbows are directly under the shoulders. And your feet are directly under your hips, and your body is going to be a little bent over. If anything, we could even imagine that your upper body, the torso, your spine is parallel to the ground. So you create a table with your body. It may even look like the classic kind of cat stretch, where you've got your hands on the ground, your knees on the ground, but in this case, your feet are on the ground, not your knees. So you're going to be essentially bent over, hands on a chair, feet on the floor. Hands are directly underneath the shoulders. Shoulders are directly over the wrists. And the feet are under the hips. And the hips are over the feet. So just check in and see if you've got this sort of four-point stance. So have a stand back up. I'm going to have to give a little bit of preparation to this if you've never done one of these movement lessons. At any time that you need to pause, stop, stand up, walk around a little bit, sit down just to take a rest. You go ahead and you do that, and then you come back to the lesson. I'll attempt to put as many pauses into this so that you can sense when you need to stop and take a little rest so that you're not doing these like an exercise class. It's not to do them repeatedly. So bring your hands back down to the chair. And I will teach as if you're using your hands, but if you do use this with the kitchen table in your forearms, then imagine that it's the elbows that are directly underneath the shoulders and shoulders directly over the elbows on the table. So as you have this bent over position, just start to bend your knees, just softly. Not rocket science, just bend the knees gently, soften them, and then straighten them. So you're going to bend your knees and straighten them a few times. Bend, straighten, bend the knees, straighten the knees. When you do this, I want you to have attention to your heel bones, to the bones of your feet that are in the back, the heel bones. And as you straighten your knees, you're going to put a little more body weight into your heels. So you're going to bend your knees, relax the feet, straighten the knees, and as you straighten the knees, you're going to sort of put a little more pressure into the heel bones. This doesn't mean that your forefoot lifts off of the floor, so your toes stay on the ground. You're just directing the intention and the pressure, if you will, towards the heels. So bending your knees, straightening your knees. And as you straighten the knees, you're going to put a little more pressure into both of the heels. And as you do this, are you putting more pressure into one foot? Are you standing more on one foot? So you just notice. And if you are, what would you have to do with your entire body to reorganize to have a little more evenness through your feet? Does it mean stepping in a little bit with one foot or moving your hands over a little to the left or to the right? So you experiment with this so you can find the kind of just right spot where you've got equal weight through your feet and through your hands. So you're not just pushing into the left hand or the right hand. Great. So now just stand up, have a little walk around. And then bring your hands back to the chair. And you're going to go back to the same movement. So I'm going to bridge in about four or five different movements into this lesson, but you're inevitably always going to come back to having your hands on the chair, the feet on the ground, and the body parallel to the floor. Great. So now hands on the chair again, and go back to bending the knees and straightening the knees. And as you straighten them, you have a little more weight go into your heels. For those of you that have really super tight hamstrings, you may already feel that this is lengthening and pulling on them a little bit. Now, if you're shaking and sweating, then you're doing too much. So you want to go a little less. So maybe cut that movement of the knees by a quarter, or maybe even a 16th. Now pay attention to what you do with your head. So what's your head doing as you do this? So as you bend your knees, where does your head go? Where do your eyes look? And as you straighten your knees, where does your head go or where do your eyes look? I distinguish the two because they could be going in different directions. And what I want you to try is this. As you bend your knees, you're going to look down towards your knees with your head. Your head's going to drop. Your toes are going to see your nose, or your nose are going to see your toes. Your eyes are going to look down. And then as you straighten your knees, you're going to bring the head up to see in front of you. Is it a window that's in front of you, or a bookcase, or a plant, or television, or something? And so again, you're going to combine now the movement of the head and the knees such that as the knees bend, the head looks down, curls down, and as the head comes up, the knees straighten and you press into the heels. Bending and straightening. We could say that this is flexing into almost like a bit of a ball, and then extending and lifting the head up. And as you do this, also make sure that you're breathing. So have you been even noticing your breath, or whether or not it's been strained or held or a little tight? Taking a pause when you need to, and then coming back to this movement of how the head and knees can connect. How can the head and knees connect and coordinate together so that the moment you feel the knees bend, the head looks down and lowers, so you relax the back of the neck. And then as the knees straighten, the head comes up to see in front of you. And don't forget about your feet. Are you noticing your feet under you? And then take a rest, take a pause, maybe walk around a few steps. If you need to take a rest in sitting, have a seat in your chair. If you're new to my audio lessons and to the Feldenkrais work, one of the principles that we really work with is the capacity to have proportional organization in our system, in our body, in our muscles, and how our skeleton moves. So I'll say that again, it's having proportional organization and having the ability to proportionally organize ourselves, not just in one movement, but in many movements. So far, I've just sort of brought to your attention two movements. That's of what your head does and your eyes, along with your knees and a little bit of your feet. So let's add another element to this. So come back to that position. Hands on the chair, feet standing. Again, this sort of tabletop position. So you've got your spine parallel to the ground. Again, really sensing your feet. And again, that's another component to this work, is rather than thinking about this and getting a real intellectual trying to get it, it's the difference is this ability to sense through the body, sense through our actions, our effort, our ease, the distribution of pressure across our hands or feet. So with that in mind, come back to the exact same movement you were doing. Can you remember what it was? How did they combine? How did you connect and coordinate the head and the knees? So having the head curl down to look towards the knees as they soften. And then as the head comes up, the knees are going to straighten. You're going to press into the heels. You're going to have the weight shift into the heels. Now pay attention to what you're doing with your tailbone. Some might say the pelvis. And sense, feel, move your pelvis such that when you bend your knees, you tuck that tailbone under. And then as you straighten your knees, you're going to lift that tailbone up. So as you bend your knees, you tuck the tailbone under. It would be the best way to describe this is if you were a dog with a tail, or a cat with a tail, or any animal with a tail, this would be the thing that animal would do when it's afraid or it knows it's done something wrong, tail between the legs, and it shrinks. That animal would shrink and tuck their tail under and pull their belly in. So actually do this as you bend your knees and you look down towards your knees, you're going to tuck your tail under, pull your belly in. And then as you straighten your knees and lift your head, you're going to lift the tail up like it's a happy dog bringing its tail up to be alert. And so you add in this next movement of the pelvis. Up and down. Up and down, going slowly, slow enough to know what you're doing, slow enough to actually know what you're doing and actually sense it. We speed through so much in our life, and this is an opportunity to slow it down and to pay attention to just you and just the ability to make this easier. Now, the next thing that is in addition to the tailbone is, what are you doing with the belly muscles? So I made a suggestion that when you tuck the tailbone under and you bend your knees and you look down, that you pull the belly in a little bit. So that would be contracting the flexors of the front of the body or the abdominals. When you go the other way, what do you do with your knees? Quiz you on that one. So when you straighten your knees, right? When you lift the head up to let the belly muscles completely go, to let the belly, in a sense, hang out, literally. Let it hang out. Let that full front of you get longer by letting those muscles go on a bit of a holiday. And then as you bend the knees and tuck the tail under, you pull them in a little bit. So just go back and forth with the coordination of the head, the knees, the pelvis, the belly. Four things. Oh, and the feet. What are you doing with your feet? Are you falling into one foot, left or right, or can you still sense both of them? Breathing. Noticing. In a culture where we've been taught to suck our tummies in and pull our bellies up and in and have a strong center and a strong core and all that stuff, all those rules of posture, it can be really tough sometimes to fully let that abdomen relax when the pelvis lifts such that the tailbone lifts, and as the belly lets out, the legs straighten. As the head comes up, the belly goes out. So back and forth. And then take a little rest. And again, encouraging you to rest when you need to, because I can't see you, so I can't see if you're straining and sweating, so you'll have to take care of yourself and be self-aware of if you're pushing yourself, if you're falling into old habits of straining and kind of tuning out from your body. Are you just following the instructions in thought? Or can you follow the instructions and notice in body sense and body sensation? And how is this affecting the hamstrings? So I'll also encourage you not to test that movement. I can't see you. So to not test that first movement yet. Not yet. All right. So come back to the chair. And hands again in the same position. Exact same position as when you started. And go back to these movements of the head, the tailbone tucking under, the head going down, the tailbone tucking under, the knees bending, and then the head and eyes coming up, the face seeing the world in front of you, the tailbone lifting, the belly coming out, the knees straightening, pressure into the heels. Notice what happens with your spine. And because of the other elements that have been moved, namely your head and your pelvis, you might already have noticed that your spine is following maybe a certain pattern. But now just notice it a bit more. So as you bend your knees and curl your head down to look towards your knees, and you tuck your tail under, notice how your spine can start to sense this ability to round a little bit, to create a little bit of a hill, if you will, or a little bit of a shape, a C shape in your back. And then as you lift the head and lift the tailbone and let the belly out and straighten the legs, can your spine get a little longer? And here, this is where it's tricky because I can't see you, is because of our histories and our level of activity and spinal flexibility and hip flexibility, everyone is going to be different with this. So I really want to encourage you to go small, to not push it, and to really feel the feet as you do this. Keep the support through the feet, left and right, front and back. Allow your hands to take some pressure of this. So it's not all the pressure in your wrists, but an equal distribution between your hands and your feet. And as you curl your spine, curve it, as your head goes down and your knees bend, can you also get a sense of how your ribs fold in a bit? How your sternum tucks up, your chest bone. Your chest bone, that bone in between your chest muscles. And then as you come up with the head and the tailbone lifts and the knees straighten, the belly drops. Can you imagine that chest bone lifting up a little bit and the length of the back getting longer? Or for some of you, you might feel a little bit of an arch in the back, the lower back. So just sort of going back and forth, flexing and extending the spine with the awareness of the feet, the knees, the belly, the head, the eyes. And are you noticing any pull or any stretch or any sensation in those hamstring muscles and how they might be feeling a little taut because maybe they've never done this movement before? So you just notice, do you feel a tightness across the back of the knee or the calf, or is your lower back not so sure about this? And if it's feeling a little cranky, then you lay it off a little bit. You make it smaller. Even a centimeter or an inch, when done with proper organization, does the job. So I'll say that again. Even if you just move a tiny speck of a distance, but you connect everything in unison, it'll still do the job of coordinating the muscles such that they can lengthen and get longer in the hamstring area and the back of the thigh. So take a little break. Walk around a little bit. Walk around a little bit. Just see what your standing even might feel like right now. Often when the hamstrings have been really shortened, one of the reasons is that the pelvis kind of lives in a tucked position. A lot of people live in standing and in sitting with their tail in between their legs. This is why it's so hard for so many people in our westernized culture to sit on the floor, and especially sit on the floor with our legs in front of us. If you imagine a baby, they sit on the floor with no problem. Their bellies are full, their legs can be out in front of them. But the majority of us couldn't sit comfortably on the floor to save our lives. And a huge reason for that is we could blame the muscles, we could blame the structure of the body, and it's true, that is what's hindering our comfort, but it's our function. It's how we use ourselves or how we have used ourselves in the past. But it doesn't mean that we can't get that back, that we can't get back the capacity to move these structures such that we can sit a little comfortably, a little more comfortably on the ground or even in a chair. But when these structures, specifically the pelvis and how the pelvis relates to the legs and the spine, when they start to interact and integrate with a little more resiliency, everything starts to feel a little easier. Movements, legs, your legs don't feel as heavy. They don't feel as lead-like because there's more integration with the entire system. So hopefully that was a little bit of a rest. So come back and go back to this movement, and I'll really challenge you to see if you can coordinate these movements such that they happen at the same time. And by that I mean, the moment you feel your knees bend is the exact same moment. So again, you're back with your hands on the chair, feet on the ground, spine parallel to the floor, or roughly parallel to the floor. What I mean by the exact moment is the moment you feel your knees bend is the same moment your head starts to curl. It's the exact same moment that your tailbone tucks under. It's the exact same moment that you feel your spine round. And then when you go to straighten those knees, it's the exact same moment you feel your tailbone lift. It's the exact same moment the belly lets out, the head lifts up, the spine lengthens. I can't stress that enough. So rather than worrying about getting lots of movement in the joints, can you make the movement in the joints organize together. One of the best analogies I often use in my classes that really gets people feeling this is if you were to touch a sea creature that's like a jellyfish or something like a slug. It's another way to, and if you touch it, if it feels you, the whole system moves as one. And so imagine yourself in that same kind of tone that you, in a way, command a movement in one area, but you're bringing attention to those other movements, those other areas, so that the whole, your whole system can move as one into that kind of flexion. And then as you straighten the knees and bring the head up and bring the tailbone up and let the belly out, that lengthening can happen through the hamstrings. And your muscles of your thigh bone, the front, the quadricep muscles, will contract to lengthen the hamstring muscles. And your feet are connected with the floor, so it allows that length to happen a little easier. So just playing with this movement again a little bit on your own. And then leave that, come up to stand, let yourself just look around a little bit, see where you are, feel your feet. I'm going to do one more variation, and the next variation will add a little bit of rotation into it. So everything's been very kind of linear right now, up and down, but the spine, it likes to rotate, it likes to twist, it likes to spiral. And sometimes we'll have a preference. One side might be tighter than the other. So come back to that same position. And this time, with the hands on the chair, feet on the ground, body long, parallel to the floor, as you bend your knees and you drop your head down, tuck your tailbone under, you're going to look under your left armpit, or under your left shoulder, another way to say it. It's almost like you're trying to sniff your deodorant to see if it's still working. So you're gonna look under there. So your head's gonna go to the left and under. And then as you lift the tailbone and all the stuff we've been doing, straighten the knees, you're going to look over the right shoulder as if you're trying to peer behind your right shoulder to see something that's behind your right shoulder. You use your imagination. So you go back and forth with this direction of your head and eyes, looking under the left armpit or under the left shoulder, sniffing the armpit. And then as you come up, you're going to have your head transition to look over the right shoulder. As your tailbone lifts, as your belly lets out, as your legs straighten. So it's adding another dimension into this, crossing to go under the left and over the right. Are you breathing? The moment you were given a new direction or skill, did you instantly get confused or not sure or hold your breath? Not saying that you did, but this is often what happens when a new novel direction is given. That's the moment of learning in this work. Can you catch yourself before you start to go into that habit of strain and bring a little more ease to this, a little less effort? And then pause. You can pause in standing. Few moments, we'll go and try the other side. Just pause, maybe step a little one way to the other, left, right. And then come back to the same position, hands on your chair. and then try your other side. And the moment I say that, is there a tone that changes in your body, or can you go into the movement with just a curiosity, a willingness to explore the side that we haven't done yet? So as you look under or under your right shoulder, sniff the right armpit, feel how your knees can bend with that, your tail can tuck under. And then as you lift the head up, it transfers and smoothly goes over to look over your left shoulder. As your tailbone lifts, as the belly lets out, and then under the right, over the left. Feeling how your spine curls to go under the right, to look under the right shoulder, and then how your spine uncurls and lengthens to look and peer over the left shoulder. So just feel that. And then if you wish, just dare to try the other side a few times, maybe. Feel if there's a difference. Very rarely are we 100% symmetrical. It's pretty much, I don't want to say impossible, but even our organs aren't symmetrical. So don't strive for symmetry. Just sense the differences right now and be aware of your feet. Are you always on your left foot when you do this? Imagine if you started to equalize just where the feet are under your hip joints and under your pelvis, how that would start to shift how your spine and your pelvis and your hip joints react to this movement. Great. So just come back to having hands on the chair one last time. Just do the whole movement in a more linear way, such that it's up and down, so that you curl the tailbone under, you bend your knees, you soften the knees, you drop the head down, pull the belly in a little bit. And then as you lift the head, you straighten the knees, you press into the heels, you lift the tailbone, you let the belly out, the spine arches a bit, maybe lengthens, pending your flexibility. You just sense it for what it is right now. You sense how that pelvis can maybe be a little more freer than when you started this. Being easy, trying to sense if you can organize all the body parts at the same time so that the muscles start to also become organized and the effort is distributed. So how can this effort, this movement be distributed through the entire system, not just in those poor hamstrings, but through the feet, through the pelvic muscles, through the spinal muscles, through the upper body muscles, so that everything can help in a sense. All right, I think that's a lot for an introduction to the hamstring lengthening series. So come away from your chair. Just maybe for a sense how you are in standing, where you feel your feet now. I didn't get you to spend a lot of time in standing and scanning standing, but just see if there's anything different. Do your eyes have a tendency to look somewhere different now? Does your head feel in a different position on your spine? See. And then again, keeping your legs relatively straight, what might it be like now to bring your hands forward as if to touch your toes or to go towards the ground? Just see, first of all, if you've traveled a little further. And I'll get you to pay attention to what do you do with your pelvis. So often when we bring our hands forward, we just think hands have to come to the floor or I have to touch my toes. But what do you do with your pelvis? Can the pelvis, can that tailbone lift up? Can the belly come forward? Can you find those heels but not fall back on the heels? Just find the heels. And can you fold such that the pelvis actually travels backwards in space as your front torso comes forward. And then as your hands come down, what would it be like to then let the spine round a little bit and let the head and the neck muscles fully let go? Great. And then have a little walk. I'll encourage you to play with these movements with the chair, or as I mentioned, you could try this with your forearms on the table. Really depends on your height, the length of your arms, the length of your legs. If you've liked this lesson, I'd love to hear from you. Email is the best way to get a hold of me. My website is www.irenelyon.com. That's Lyon spelled Lyon.com. And you can find all my info there. However, you may have found this lesson on my site. So thank you for trying it out. And if you have any questions at all, please send me a note. This is a trickier lesson to teach without seeing people because of body sizes and shapes, but hopefully you took your time and you listened to my instructions to pause and rest and go slow. And remember that you can return to this lesson at any time, maybe give it another day to rest and let this integrate, but to come back and refamiliarize yourself with these movements. And perhaps over time, those hamstring muscles can start to lengthen a little bit more, a little more intelligently, and with less strain. Thank you.